Appreciate good preaching. Brother Thren got to preaching there, and I thought he's touching a little bit on what I'm preaching, so that's good. I guess we'll just pick up where he left off. Amen. And we all right, Tim? Everything is not working? It ain't my fault. You gave it to me. It says green. Green means go, right? Amen. Why don't y'all get a sound man that can work that thing back there? I'm just kidding. Amen. Acts chapter number 1. Well, every generation has to fight for what the last generation fought for. And if you don't fight for it, you'll lose it. And I'm interested and concerned about the generation that's coming up today. And we're watching it go a direction that they wasn't raised that way. Amen. And Pastor Keenan or Pastor Mike Keenan mentioned it at lunch today. And it's so true that there's so many preachers that are taking churches and going the total opposite direction than what they were trained and what they were taught. And I could name some that I've been actually very close to, that's preached, I've preached in, they've supported me. And now the young preacher came in, and it's full-blown liberal. And they're losing it, and they're leaving it, dear friend, the old-time way. And, of course, what Brother Thren just preached on is 100% true. And I want to follow up with that, amen, and just kind of get in a little deeper in just the power of the Holy Ghost. But Acts chapter number 1 tonight, we'll begin reading down there in verse number 4. I got a lot here I want to say, and so we'll just see what the Lord has, if I preach it all or not. But there's just, you know, stuff runs through your head, and you don't want to, you know, belabor and just bore you with things. But let me just say this about the Spirit of God before I start. The Holy Ghost is not a spook. The Holy Ghost is not a myth. He's not a freak show. Amen. You understand? He's not a lesser God. Right. It's not God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. You understand? On the same level. And every one of them has, of course, a different area that they work in. And the Holy Ghost of God is our comforter. Yes. Amen? He is the one that works through us, works in us. If we're going to have the power to do anything for the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to have to come through the Holy Ghost of God. So therefore, I'm not afraid of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Matter of fact, I welcome him. I want him there. The problem is we grieve him so easily. That's our fault, not his fault. And the Bible said in verse 4 of Acts 1, and being assembled together with them, commanded them, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly, the Bible said, baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. It says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath, but in his own power. He said, but ye shall receive power. There's a promise from God. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And I want to stop and say this. That was not just for the disciples. That was not just for the apostles. Let me go that far, amen. And the Bible went on to say, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, I pray and ask God to help us, amen, for the help of the Holy Ghost in preaching. But let me just say this to you tonight, dear friend. There's a lot of people today that are afraid of the Holy Ghost of God. As a matter of fact, if the Spirit of God showed up in most services, most preachers and the people wouldn't have a clue what to do. As a matter of fact, many would probably grieve him because they don't want to let him work. Dear friend, when he works, something's going to happen. Amen. And I say to you, the Bible speaks of men that were full of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says Stephen was full of faith in the Holy Ghost. Barnabas was full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Seven men were chosen to wait on tables. They were full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. So wherever you find faith, you find the Holy Ghost. And where you find the Holy Ghost, you find faith. Now some other old time preachers of the past that were full of the Holy Ghost, and you'll probably recognize some of these names. Men like D.L. Moody and R.A. Torrey and A.W. Tozer, Charles Spurgeon and Billy Sunday and Harry Ironside, R.G. Lee, B.R. Lakin, Harold Seitler, Oliver B. Green, Lester Roloff, Jack Kyles, Dwight Talmage, J. Harold Smith, Sam Jones, J. Frank Norris, Lee Robertson, G.B. Vick, Bob Jones Sr., John R. Rice, Dr. Malone, and now there's a bunch of other men. But the reason that many of us recognize those names is because those men did a work for the God of heaven, and they did it in the power of the Holy Ghost of God. And I say to you tonight, thank God for the men of God that were full of the Holy Ghost of God and faith. But allow me to say this also, that those in our churches, you and I, we should not be interested in the MacArthurs and the Rick Warrens and the Olsteins and the Benny Hins and the Hybels crowd and the Hagee crowd. But I say to you, dear friend, we should be interested in the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm not interested in what Rick Warren said. Here's what he said a long time ago. He said this: we need to get rid of old time religion and throw out the old hymn music and bring in the new neo-evangelical style of music and worship. I stand tonight and say that he is a devil from hell, and he is wrong, 100% wrong. So the reason that that crowd wants you to use their styles, their methods, their music, their psychology, their doctrine, their way of worship, and here's why. It is because they do not know the Holy Ghost. They don't know anything about the power of the Spirit of God. And I say to you, dear friend, that many of the so-called fundamental independent Baptist crowd don't know him either, because if they did, they would not read after that crowd. They would not try to learn from that crowd. They would not try to learn from those devils. The Bible calls them wolves in sheep's clothing. And you take a young man, now you fellas listen to me, you young fellas and some of you preachers, dear friend, and everybody else, but I say to you, you take a man, dear friend, that stood up and preached the word of God, and he did it in the power of the Holy Ghost, and he raised that church, dear friend, under the power of the Holy Ghost. He taught them people the Bible. He taught them the King James Bible. He taught them how to worship the old time religion and how to sing the old hymns and to get out there and knock on doors and tell people about Jesus and give them missions and spend time in prayer and live a holy, clean life. Amen. Live a separated life. And then the next thing you know, no offense, Brother Matt, I'm not talking about you, but the next thing you know, they let this guy come in, the younger man, if you would, amen. Sometimes the son, that's a sad thing, sometimes the son-in-law, sometimes another young man, and within about 2 years, that little demon ain't got no power on him, he ain't got no Holy Ghost on him, and it ain't happening like it did with the old man of God, and so they got to figure out a new way, and they start bringing in all the worldly garbage, and the dress styles change, and the music styles change, and the Bible changes, and they go full-blown ecumenical because they started reading after a bunch of liberals instead of falling on their face before God and getting filled with the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Now, let me give you a little short history of us. The Baptist fundamentalism in America. Sam Jones, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., George Shuler. They were not Baptist fundamentalists, but they were known as the fighting fundamentalist. And they were fundamentalists that believed in the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, there were four men that are known to have organized fundamentalist Baptists in America. They were J. Frank Norris with the Baptist Bible Fellowship, Dr. Bob Ketchum with the General Association of Regular Baptists, Dr. Myron Cedarholm with the Conservative Baptist Association, and Dr. Lee Robertson with the Southwide Baptist Fellowship. So in relation to Baptist fundamentalism in America, us, you and I, amen, what we believe, we can trace our roots back to J. Frank Norris and Dr. Lee Robertson. Now, many men since then had separated themselves from the Southern Baptist Convention because of different reasons, some of which were money, evolution, premillennial coming of Christ, lack of evangelism, standards, ecclesiastical separation, personal separation, and the list goes on now. But today, we call ourselves independent, fundamental, separated Baptists, and I throw on the end of that, who believes and stands for old-time religion. Now, may I say to you, dear friend, that there is independent, fundamental, separated Baptists that are only separate ecclesiastical. In other words, they're Baptist. They call themselves a Baptist by doctrine. You understand? But then there are some that are separated ecclesiastical and personal. In other words, they got personal separation. And there's a lot of places that's got the name Baptist on their church that ought not to have the name Baptist on the church. As a matter of fact, you give it some time, they'll end up taking it off and being non-denominational. That's what they always go to. Now, I believe the old-time independent fundamental separated Baptists believed in the power of the Holy Ghost, not lifestyle, neo-worship, psychology, preaching, and methods. But in America at one time, stay with me now, a little history, the Baptists ranked 61%, but now, because they have gotten away from what the church had in the book of Acts, they are now in the single digits. That's sad. You see, you can thank Billy Graham for destroying a part of fundamentalism and bringing in today what is known as neo-evangelicalism, which the devil is using to try to destroy old-time fundamentalism. Matter of fact, there's a fool out there today that's got a video. I've not watched it and won't watch it, but he's got a video and trying to tell and teach churches how to change and get rid of old-time religion, get rid of the Bible, get rid of the old hymns. He's a devil full of hell, amen, and on his way to hell, most likely. Now, your MacArthur's, your Warren's, your Holsteins or Hybels, that crowd, they don't care anything about old-time religion. They don't care anything about fundamentalism and separation, nor do they care about the true biblical power of the Holy Ghost of God. Now, if I've said anything that's made you mad already, it's going to get worse. Amen? I am an old-time, independent, separated, Bible-believing Baptist because I believe the Bible is the Word of God and it is given by inspiration of God. And I oppose any liberal theology and lifestyle that is in many of our churches today. I also look to and depend 100% on the Holy Ghost and His power. Let me ask you a question. What's wrong with that? If they believed it 50 years ago and 100 years ago, why can't we believe it today? I say to you, dear friend, the old timers believed that way and it worked for them. It'll work for us. We need to throw the neo-thinking out of our churches, out of our minds. Let's get back to the old-time way of depending and looking to the Holy Ghost of God who gives a rip what that crowd's doing. Let's do what Christ taught us to do, and that is work hard with Him, look to Him, depend on Him, trust in Him, and get full of Him. Amen? Old-time religion is religion that looks to and depends on the Holy Ghost. The Bible said, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I understand that if you're saved, you have the indwelling of the Spirit of God in you. But what many of us need in our life is the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. Not only in our lives, but in our ministries. There's enough dead ministries today. We don't need any more dead ministries. Dead Christians produce dead ministries. Now I want to give you a few points. The Holy Ghost is more powerful, number one, than lifestyle evangelism. Many that believe in this watered-down doctrine are those that do not have the strength to stand in front of someone and ask them about their decision for Christ. That fact, that same crowd will have nothing to do with confrontational soul winning. They think their job is to live a good life until someone wants what they got. Dear friend, that ain't going to happen that way. In other words, they're thinking it's something of this nature. I'm going to go to the lake with you. I'm going to, you know, hang out with you and your nakedness on the lake, but I'm going to try to show you what kind of Christian I am. I'm going to dress like you do. I'm going to wear the same kind of clothing you do. I'm not going to be peculiar and different because I want to show you what kind of Christian I am. Don't work that way. In other words, their thinking is, you know what? I'll slip over there to the bar with you. I'm not going to drink anything, but I'll go hang out with you because I want to show you what kind of Christian I am. You know, I'll laugh at your jokes, but I'm not going to tell any because I want to try to show you what kind of Christian I am. I'm going to watch the same movies you watch so you don't feel bad about it, and I don't want to offend you because I want to show you what kind of Christian I am. No, no, no. That kind of thinking is straight out of hell. That's that lifestyle evangelism crowd. That's the crowd, dear friend, that says, hey, just go out there and be yourself, hang out and do everything that everybody else does, and try to show them Christ. Let me say to you, dear friend, they don't have time to watch you or anybody else try to be good because they could die and go to hell today. As a matter of fact, they need somebody that will walk up to them and tell them about Jesus Christ that's full of the Holy Ghost of God, that will see them and watch them get under conviction where you can lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. People don't get under conviction just by you. They get under conviction through the Word of God and the Holy Ghost that's in you. We don't need to point them to us. You point them to Christ. God never said that the gospel wouldn't offend, but he did say it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And I believe men ought to see your good works. They ought to glorify your God in heaven. The Bible said in Acts 1:8, hear it, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now listen what it says. And ye shall be witnesses. I'm going to be straightforward. The reason that we aren't witnesses is because you ain't got no power. Didn't the Bible say that? He said this, he said, plainly, down there, he said that if we had power, you shall receive power. He said, and after the Holy Ghost has come on you, ye shall be witnesses. The reason the church today is not a witness is because they don't have the power of the Holy Ghost of God. That track rack ought to be empty every week. There's enough people in this church to empty it. And we ought to be out everywhere we go, dear friend, in the stores and trying to give them out, maybe to the clerk or to the postman or to the neighbor or to the person you work with or to the person on the other side of the gas pump. Man, I put the things everywhere. Hey, man, I put them up there by the gas pump on that little sign where they can see it. I put them in the bathrooms. Amen. I put them on the commode. Hallelujah. On the toilet paper holder. I put them on the sink. Amen. I hand them to the clerk. I think everybody in this area ought to know where Old Pass Baptist Church is. Amen. Because everywhere they go, they see the tracks laying everywhere, and somebody's telling them about Jesus Christ. The first thing God said that you would be after you received his power was a witness. Old time confrontational soul winning still works. But that new neo crowd, that non-denominational crowd, they ain't telling nobody about Jesus because they ain't filled with God. Proverbs 11:30, the Bible said, fruit of righteousness, tree of life, he that winneth souls is wise. They that sow in tears, he says, shall reap in joy, he go forth, weep, bearing precious seed. Amen. That word is seed, word of God. He said, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Billy Sunday said this, he said, soul winning is a definite effort to lead a definite person to accept a definite Savior at a definite time. And the lifestyle evangelism crowd falls in the same category as the Calvinistic crowd, and that is they are too lazy and they don't have enough power to tell anybody about Jesus and tell them about their need for salvation. Someone said, well, why should I be a soul winner? Because of the worth of their soul. That's why. And God deserves his reward. May I say to you, the reality, there's a hell. Christ died for their sins because of the empty life they'll have without Jesus, so that all their family can get saved. Because that's because of what's been prepared for them. Why should we be a soul winner? Because of the rewards that you will receive. Because someone you know needs salvation. And I say, when Christ was here, he came to seek and save that which was lost. But now he uses you and I. Yes. That's what old time religion does. That's what they did, dear friend. They got filled with the Holy Ghost of God and they were witnesses. It's your job. It's my job to tell others of Jesus Christ. It ought to be an everyday thing. It ought to be natural. The Holy Ghost still works through the soul winner that's involved in soul winning. America's going to hell. Our children are growing up in a wicked world. Where are the preachers and the fathers and the mothers and the Christians and the churches that will believe in the power of the Holy Ghost and get out and tell somebody about Jesus? Let me say something to you, dear preacher friend. Let me say something to you, young men. Don't listen to the lie of those that say, well, it don't work today. Let me say to you, that Bible still works, amen? And when God put it in his book, he expected it to last throughout eternity, hallelujah. And I say to you, dear friend, God told us it would work. I say, go do it, amen? Don't stop doing it. Don't stop getting the tracts. Don't stop witnessing. Don't stop telling people about Jesus. Amen. Don't listen to that liberal lying crowd, because the Holy Ghost is more powerful than lifestyle evangelism. Let me give you another one. The Holy Ghost is more powerful than the contemporary era. And what I mean by that is modern music and worldly worship. It's sickening. The contemporary crowd wants you to read the choruses off the screen, get rid of the old hymns, throw your hands up in the air, and throw your head back with your eyes closed, worship in the flesh in their sensual, ungodly way, getting caught up in the moment. I say to you, it's out of hell. I have watched a little bit of it just to see exactly what they do. It's gross. It's sickening. It's so watered down. It's so dumbed down. It's stupid. It's just unbelievable. I can't believe people sit there and do that. In 1 Corinthians 14:40, the Bible said, let all things be done decently and in order. Now, the contemporary realm cares more about the crowd than they do the soul. The contemporary realm cares more about the feelings of the flesh than they do the Holy Ghost. The contemporary realm cares more about entertainment than they do preaching and having revival. The contemporary realm cares more about bringing attention to their voice and bringing attention than they do bringing attention to Christ. They care more about a feel-good service than a service that's filled with the Holy Ghost of God. And the contemporary realm will do whatever it takes to get others to follow them so that they can have a large ministry and make a name for themselves. But I say to you tonight, listen to me, young men, listen to me, mamas and daddies and teenagers, the Holy Ghost is more powerful. There's no comparison. When he shows up, like Brother Thren just got done preaching, I say to you, dear friend, business picks up. You don't have to pull the world styles of music and worship to see growth. You say, well, preacher, we've been doing the same thing for years, and it just doesn't seem like anything's happening. I say to you, dear friend, that doesn't mean it's time to look to the world. That doesn't mean it's time to look to the liberal crowd. That doesn't mean it's time to look at those liberals and learn from them, because they're doing it the wrong way. What's time to do is get on your face before God and beg God, I need the power of God. I need the Holy Ghost. I need God. We don't change what we've been doing for years. We get God on us. There's preachers everywhere twiddling their thumbs, racking their brains, reading after a bunch of liberals that aren't even saved, trying to figure out how to get a crowd. The way you get a crowd, here's how you do it. Are you hearing me? You throw the world out of your home. You throw the world out of your church. And you get the Holy Ghost involved in everything. Amen. And if God only gives you 30 people to worship with, then worship with the 30. And if God gives you 150, worship with them. And if he gives you 1,000, worship with them. But never be said that you changed and you got away from God. And you started that contemporary era. And you went the wrong direction. Keep your eyes on the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. Let me say to you, dear friend, Holy Ghost singing with old time hymns still works. Amen. Holy Ghost shouting, Holy Ghost aisle running, Holy Ghost worship, Holy Ghost invitations. The preachers that pull this contemporary style in their church tells me that they're not trusting in the Holy Ghost of God. The contemporary crowd of today, they want to play their wild music. They want to dance around on a platform and in the auditorium with their praise teams, close their eyes, float off into a dream world, fall out at the altar, shed a few tears, and they call that worship. Now you hear this, preacher. The Bible said over there, Matthew 4:10, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. Ain't worshiping man, I'm worshiping God. He said in John 4:24, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, not the flesh. You watch that crowd. I don't want to do much about them, but you watch them. They get up there on their platform, amen, and they get up there, and they're revealing flesh, and they're revealing all kinds of parts of body, and they're flaunting their body around and gyrating their body around and shaking themselves, and they want everybody to look at them. Watch how low he can go. Watch how high he can go. Look at what he can do. Look at what she can do. And I say to you, God ain't within 1,000 miles of that place. Worship means this. It means to do reverence and homage to a superior being. Worship is the overflow. It is the overflow of a grateful heart under a sense of God's divine favor. Worship is the outpouring of a soul that rests in the presence of God. Worship is the uprising of a heart that has known the Father as a giver, the Son as a Savior, and the Holy Ghost as the indwelling Spirit. Worship is the occupation of the heart with God himself. And here's what the Bible said in John 4:23. He said this. He said that the Father seeketh such to worship him. That means he's looking for somebody. He's looking for somebody that's going to worship him. Not in the flesh, but in the spirit. When's the last time you did? What many churches today call worship service is not a worship service at all. Amen. It's either deader than a graveyard service and people are just enduring there, being there. Or the opposite end of the spectrum, they're wilder than a country music concert with half-naked women on the platform and wild music. Right. Where's the Holy Ghost at in either one of those? Amen. May I say to you, dear friend, many churches have become dead. Here's what happened. Many churches became dead and they continued on for years without the Holy Ghost. Are you listening? And they went through the motions. And them kids grew up in that church. And then the kids got older. And then people got tired of the many church services that were dead and boring. And they began leaving those churches. And they began starting these contemporary churches that are full of the world's dress styles, music styles, and worldly, fleshly styles of worship. And the reason is because mom and daddy lost the touch of God years ago. And the church lost the touch of God years ago. And they said, hey, it didn't work for my mom and dad. It was dead. I don't want to go to a dead church. I don't want to hear all that. I want to be able to just go as I am. I want to just have fun at church. I want to have a good time at church. And the logo is, tired of going to a boring church? Come visit us. Come as you are. I mean, they don't care if they come in shorts. They don't care if they come in flip-flops. They don't care if they come in bikinis. They don't care what they come in. Just come to the rock. Come to the river. Come over here and have yourself a good time. Let me say to you, dear friend, here's what the Bible said about a rock. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the tool that Christ used to build his church is you and the Holy Ghost. Nothing else. A spirit-filled Christian. Where are the preachers and the men and women today that will look to and depend on the Holy Ghost? I believe the Holy Ghost to help me build my church. I believe we're the ones that say, I believe the Holy Ghost to help me build my ministry. I believe the Holy Ghost to help me win people to Christ. I believe the Holy Ghost to help me build the routes and get the people in. I believe the Holy Ghost will help me win the young people in my town. I believe the Holy Ghost to help me with my Sunday school. We don't need contemporary crowd with their music style and way of worship. We need the Holy Ghost. The Bible said over there in Revelation 3:16, he said, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. God is sick of the do-nothing. Dead churches. When are we going to get sick of it? The Holy Ghost is more powerful than lifestyle evangelism, more powerful than contemporary era. Let me give you another one. It's more powerful than psychology preaching. Now, if there's one thing I can't stand, it's to watch a preacher preach like a sissy. I don't mind calling names. Joel Osteen, so you better stay straight, I'll call your name, amen? But Joel Osteen is a 100% sissy. Look at him. He's just one of the many. Little curls, you know what I'm talking about? Sissified talk. That ain't preaching. He ain't a preacher. He's a speaker. filled with the devil. If you're going to preach, preach. They don't want to offend anybody. Today we got preachers that don't want to say anything controversial. I'm not talking about being mean. I'm talking about preaching. They don't want to make anybody feel bad about their sin. They don't want to preach doctrine because they don't want any division. They got soft hands and a soft voice and a soft touch, and they ain't going to raise their voice, and they ain't going to sweat, no way. Osteen told Larry King on Larry King Live, this was years ago, he said this. He said that he would not preach on hell because he didn't want to offend anybody. That's what he said. He also stated that he won't preach on doctrine because it divides. Let me ask you a question. What's he going to say to that crowd when he faces them people? In hell. Why would you call yourself a preacher if you're not going to preach what Jesus preached? Why would you preach? Why would you not preach the whole counsel of God? When by the kingdom, when God called me to preach, I knew that I was going to have to preach. And I was going to be what God wanted me to be. Amen. And I'm not going to be some watered down, sissified, scared to say anything type of preacher. They don't like me, too bad. I want God to like me. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. I want God to direct me and use me, amen. And a preacher that won't tell you the truth has no Holy Ghost on him. The Bible said in Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God, are you listening? With boldness. You mark her down. If you hear a preacher that ain't got no boldness, he ain't got no power. I wouldn't sit under a guy that didn't have no power. Let me tell you why we got so many psychology preachers today. They don't have no Holy Ghost. And if they did, they'd have boldness. If they did, they'd have some guts to preach, thus saith the Lord. If they did, they'd preach on hell and doctrine, separation and standards. And you may think, well, it's not my place to preach that way. That means we know what crowd you're part of. And I say to you, dear friend, you lack the power of the Holy Ghost because you don't have any boldness. And I wouldn't call myself a preacher if I wasn't going to preach. Now mark her down and call me and tell me if I'm wrong. The crowd that changes them churches and goes liberal, I guarantee you, them boys and them guys that are doing it are dry, dead, boring preachers. And they got to do something to make them look good. I can take you to two tonight, and you can listen to them tonight. I can tell you where to go. Watch them online. Dead. Changing them churches and throwing out everything that they were taught because they don't have the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Colossians 2:8 said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. After the tradition of man, after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. Today they preach their viewpoint, their ideas, their thinking, their values, and their beliefs. The psychology preachers with their New Age philosophy will destroy God's people, their lives, and destroy their families. I watched that happen. And that is exactly what these psychology preachers do. They have studied the human mind, the characteristics, and their temperament, and their behavior. Therefore, they know how to study subtly and cleverly influence an individual or a large group of people. And I say to you tonight, thousands upon thousands are being destroyed. In Ezekiel's day, there were men performing ceremonial tricks. In Ezekiel 13, we won't go there for time, which they would cheat people and entertain people with their pleasant and plush things to persuade them that they were in a good and right way, which would strengthen the hands of the wicked and cause them to turn and cause them to not turn from their wicked way by promising them life. Now I say to you, dear friend, you take the book of Ezekiel and go to chapter 13 and read how they did it. And I say to you, you can line them up with that psychology preachers of today, just like MacArthur and Warren and Osteen and Hybels and Parsley and Hagee, and it goes on and on. And even old Joyce herself. They're tricking and cheating and lying to people about them being in the right way. They're promising them life, and thousands are following them straight to hell. They preach on subjects like it's all about you, how you can be happy, how you can flourish, how you can prosper, how you can dominate. You ever listen to them? It's always about you. I need to move on. The Holy Ghost is more powerful than the lifestyle evangelism, contemporary era, psychology. Let me just say this real quick. Here's what he said. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Show my people their transgression in the house of Jacob, their sins. That's what God said to do. So you got a preacher that does that, he's lining up with God. The Holy Ghost is more powerful, let me give you this one, than men's methods. God promised us in Acts 1:8, he said this. He said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So God promised us his power. So we don't, therefore, if he promised us his power, we don't need men's methods. We need the power of the Holy Ghost of God. You see, the great problem that we face today is the men don't believe the old time way will work. They don't believe the Holy Ghost will help them win souls. They don't believe the Holy Ghost will manifest himself in their services. They don't believe the Holy Ghost will help them in their preaching or help them build their church or help them with their problems or their life in the ministry. Therefore, they turn to men's methods. Everybody's got a gimmick. If you'll do this, you'll get a crowd. If you'll do this, you can have excitement. If you'll do this, no, it's not men's methods. The children of Israel, hear me now. The children of Israel took their eyes off God. This happened. This is exactly what happened in our ranks. The children of Israel took their eyes off God, and they looked to the world, and the church has done the same thing. When the children of Israel got away from God, here's what they did. They took on the heathen's methods, didn't they? They took on the heathen styles. They started worshiping the heathen's God. And they started going the way in the worship that the heathen worshiped. And they learned it from the world. The Bible said in Romans 14:23, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Amen? In other words, you ought to have faith and believe and trust that God is going to manifest himself. Amen? And the way that he wants to do it. And I'll say to you, he'll do it in his time. The Bible says over there in John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. What we do for Christ should be done two ways, by faith in the Holy Ghost. God never taught us methods. God doesn't teach you methods. Doesn't say follow a man's method. Do it the way that John did it. Do it the way Peter did it. Do it the way, it doesn't say that. But it does teach us to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. The old timers went to church believing in God. And they believed that God and the Holy Ghost would take care of the souls of men. And that's why you hear the stories of those that would tremble under conviction. That's why you hear the stories of those that would crawl to the altar under conviction. That's why you hear the stories of those that said that they were slipping off into hell. And they would run and get saved. Today they look to formalism instead of the Holy Ghost. Today they look to the order of service instead of the Holy Ghost ordering the service. They look to the traditions of men instead of the Holy Ghost. They look to sales methods of the world to win people to Christ instead of the Holy Ghost. They look to dramas and entertainers and anything that the mind can think up instead of looking to the power of the Holy Ghost. And there's two things that have crept in our churches that Satan is using, are you listening, to destroy old-time trust in the Holy Ghost. One is infiltration. Two is integration. I'll give you these quickly. I'm about done. Satan has infiltrated our churches with many preachers that do not have any faith in the power of the Holy Ghost of God. They look like and act like the clone from the school that they came from. And in many cases, it's a school that teaches nothing about old-time religion and being sensitive to the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Instead, they have been taught methods from men that believe in a method religion. Instead of a Holy Ghost religion. May I say to you, dear friend, that I am more interested in a young man learning about old time religion and following the leadership of the Holy Ghost than I am the academics of a school. Not only has Satan infiltrated our churches, he has also brought in integration, meaning the New Testament church has mixed and mingled themselves with the dainties of this world and the liberal neo-evangelical methods of today's modern churches. Satan could not get Balaam to curse the children of Israel, but Satan did get the children of Israel to integrate with those they were to have nothing to do with. And when they did, they learned their works and their ways, and they copied it. Now just think, that is exactly what they have done today. God told the children of Israel in Numbers 33, verse 52, "Then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, destroy all their pictures, destroy all their molten images, quite pluck down all their high places." And the families of the churches today have not destroyed the world's pictures and the images, but they've brought them into their church and into their home. And they've done it through television, and they've done it through entertainment, and they've done it through social media, and all the Twitter, and all the Facebook, and all the filthy things of the world. And they brought it all into their houses, and the wives, and the husbands, and the children are looking at what the world's doing, and they're learning the way they're doing it, and they're worshiping the way they're worshiping, and they're dressing the way they're dressing, and they're living the life the way they lived it, because they're jealous, because they get to have this and they get to do this and you don't get to have it. May I say to you, dear friend, we are different. We are God's people. We are peculiar people. That's not the life we're supposed to live. We're supposed to be a holy people filled with the Holy Ghost of God. 2 Corinthians 6:17, "Wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Revelation said he spewed you out of his mouth. But he said, if you'll do it my way, I'll receive you. The Holy Ghost is more powerful than men's methods. For 3 days, Edwards did not eat a mouthful of food. For 3 nights, he had not closed his eyes in sleep. Over and over again, he had been saying to God, "Give me New England. Give me New England. God, give me New England." And when he arose from his knees and made his way into the pulpit, they said that it looked as if he had been gazing straight into the face of God. And they said before he opened his lips to speak, conviction fell upon the audience. That's what the Holy Ghost will do. James Duncan preached with great unction and power, and he was asked, what was the secret of such powerful preaching? The secret, he said, is 13 hours of consecutive prayer. When asked the secret of his spiritual power, Charles Spurgeon said, knee work. Livingston, on 2 different occasions, preached with such power that in each service, 500 people were converted. Both sermons were preceded by a night of prayer. Charles Finney, after spending a day in the woods in prayer and fasting, preached at a night crowd to a crowd that was phenomenally irreligious congregation, but with such Holy Ghost power that the whole congregation, except one man, fell prostrate on the floor and voiced their agony under conviction. The Holy Ghost is more powerful. He will get the job done. Yes, sir. Miss Naomi, if you can go to the piano and play softly. It is quite well known how the congregation was deeply moved as Jonathan Edwards preached his sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. They said he had the manuscript held up so close to his face that they could not see his face. He went on and on, until the people in the crowded church were moved almost beyond control. They said one man jumped up, rushed down the aisle, and cried, "Mr. Edwards, have mercy." Others caught hold of the backs of pews for fear that they would slip into the pit. Most thought that the day of judgment had dawned on them. Why? Because the man was full of the Holy Ghost of God. And I say, where's the desire? And God's people today say, oh God, oh God, I need the power of God. We cannot win this world without Jesus. We can't build a church without Jesus. We can't build and raise our families without the Holy Ghost. You can't do it. Your church will be dead. Your life will be dead. You'll never be a soul winner. Your Sunday school class will be dead. Your song will be dead. Without the power of the Holy Ghost of God. And we need churches today across this land with people that are full of the Holy Ghost. And I ask you, church, don't you want him? Don't you want him? It's a sacrifice. Holy living, saying no to sin. You can't grieve the Holy Ghost and be filled with him. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, we'd love to take a Bible and show you how to get saved. You may not understand being full of the Holy Ghost of God. You'll never be filled with the Holy Ghost of God until you get saved. You must be born again. I wouldn't leave this place without getting somebody to take a Bible and show you how to trust Christ. Church, we need God. Oh, Brother Friend preached it right. We need the Holy Ghost of God.